Hello, welcome to the Good Book Club for Epiphany 2019. Today is January 31st, 2019. This is day 22 of the Good Book Club. Our reading today is from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. It is not as though the word of God had failed, for not all Israelites truly belong to Israel, and not all of Abraham's children are his true descendants, but it is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as descendants. For this is what the promise said, "About this time I will return, and Sarah shall have a son." Nor is that all. Something similar happened to Rebekah when she had conceived children by one husband, our ancestor Isaac. Even before they had been born or had done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose of election might continue not by works but by his call, she was told, "The elder shall serve the younger." As it is written, "I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau." What then are we to say? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on those whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." So it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, "I have raised you up for my very purpose of showing my power in you, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." So then he has mercy on whomever he chooses, and he hardens the heart of whomever he chooses. I'm going to make a suggestion. If at all possible, sit down, take your time, and read chapters 9 through 11 in one sitting. It's important because in these two chapters, Paul is working out his theology of a number of things. One, God's faithfulness to God's own promises. Two, the fact that some Jews, in fact, many Jews, who he names as Israel here, people who are descendants of Abraham according to the flesh, and this is the flesh meaning according to biology, so many have not received Christ. And yet, Paul sees Jews receiving Christ and sees Gentiles receiving Christ. And this creates, in some ways, a crisis of theology for Paul. And so he's working it out in real time to the Roman church, which is a mixed congregation of Jews and Gentiles. Have God's promises become null and void because of Christ? Paul is going to try his best to argue by no means. He is going to hold on to the sovereignty of God. God can show mercy to whomever God pleases. God can harden the heart of whomever God pleases. He is going to work diligently using every rabbinic trick he has in his sort of quiver of how to make it all fit theologically. And what we're going to see in these two chapters is Paul wrestle, Paul go down dead ends, maybe do some circular argumentation. It's so important for him. And I can understand why. It is important for us too. It is important for us as people who have come into the descendants of Abraham by faith, not by blood. It's important for us to remember that God makes promises and God keeps promises. And so what we're going to work through here is, what is the relationship of the God of Abraham to the Jews or Israel, and what is the relationship of God to all those who have come to God through the faithfulness of Jesus? It is a complicated and emotional two chapters three chapters really, 9, 10, and 11 of Romans. And I really think that it's at the heart of the book. Now, Protestants have spent a lot of time talking about the theology of the first eight chapters, but this theology of these three chapters is central to our understanding of the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of Jesus, and the gracefulness of God's righteousness. So, read through the entire three chapters. I'll say more as we move through them over the next few days. But for now, just think about how he works in these first 18 verses to really set the stage of what it means for God to keep God's promises. And while Paul can be hyperbolic in a lot of his writings, I really get his passion here, and I really understand that he is in some ways in agony about those who are his people, according to biology, the children of Abraham, according to genealogy. What about them? And Paul is trying, and I believe faithfully, to make sense of that particular theological conundrum in real time. It'll be fun to follow his argument, but if you do have a chance, read the entire three chapters in one sitting, and that way you can get the ebb and the flow, and then come back and read each passage as assigned by the Good Book Club. That's enough for today. Let us pray. O God, whose wonderful deeds of old shine forth even to our own day, you once delivered by the power of your mighty arm your chosen people from slavery under Pharaoh to be a sign for us of the salvation of all nations by the water of baptism. Grant that all peoples of the earth may be numbered among the offspring of Abraham and rejoice in the inheritance of Israel through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.